like the storm that rolled through the province last night. It was a wide swath that went through the province. Really, a lot of areas affected by it. Lots of people on the text line. Ituna got an inch and a half, we're hearing. Randy sent a video here. Blackstrap Lake. And the video shows as the rain is coming, the sky is dark and gloomy, and a twister is literally going down the lake and spinning the water. You can see the water spitting up to the sides. It looks like it's taken from his deck as this moved down the lake. So thanks for sharing that. Any videos, any pictures you have? I haven't got any pictures of hail yet, although we heard a lot about hail, in some cases the size of ping pong balls in parts of the province, along with those big winds, thunder and lightning. It was quite the storm. So phone lines are open, text lines are open for you if you would like to share your story, or if you've got pictures, 1-877-332-8255. Okay, back to the Air Canada strike. The flight attendants, of course, have given strike notice. Air Canada has just announced, they just held a live news conference here about 10 minutes ago, announcing that they are beginning the gradual suspension of flights. So we are going to see, if you've got flights booked with Air Canada, obviously impact starting as early as this weekend. It looks as if there's not necessarily a clear end in sight. Both sides seem fairly far apart. I've appreciated John Graddick coming on the show this morning, an aviation expert, who, by the way, right at the end of our chat slipped in that he was a flight attendant back in 1985 when that first, or the last, I should say, Air Canada flight attendant strike happened. Since then, we know we've got legislation in place that doesn't allow any federally regulated organization, company, industry to bring in replacement workers. So they won't be able to use the same tactics, if you will, that they did back in 1985. This looks a little bit different. How long this goes on, we don't know yet. But also along with this, there's a lot of people scratching their heads going, look, we've got flights booked. We've heard from people that are supposed to be heading out to Newfoundland, for example, for the Canada Summer Games, who have Air Canada flights that are now going, what is going to happen? For travelers, this could be a major headache. It could mean missed vacations, business trips, family events. So where do passengers stand? What rights do they have? We've got an organization, and as importantly, a leader in Canada who has taken this issue on. Gabor Lukacs is the founder and president of the Air Passenger Rights Advocacy Group. And we've had Gabor on the show before, and I'm happy to say he's joining us live this morning from Halifax. Gabor, thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Evan. It's great to be with you again.
So this Air Canada strike, this is just another opportunity where people are going to find themselves on hold, making phone calls, trying to make adjustments online. How impactful is something like a strike like this to passengers?
A strike, if it does materialize, could be quite impactful on the short run to passengers, although passengers have to remember that Air Canada has an obligation to provide them alternate transportation, including on competitor airlines, not just the airlines with which Air Canada makes some agreements, but any airline whatsoever, Porter, WestJet, Flair, whatever airline is there that has any seats may be a candidate for rebooking if the Air Canada is unable to rebook passengers on its own or partner airlines in a certain amount of time. Mm.
So there's some conditions that come along with these, as always. So number one, obviously, you've got to have the flight booked, correct? And then you receive notice that it's canceled for that to kick in?
That's right. So once you have a booked flight and then your flight is canceled, then you have certain rights under the law. If the flight is canceled preemptively ahead of a strike, and it is we are talking about, say, a flight for tomorrow that Air Canada cancels today, then it would be within the carrier's control. It would be a business decision that they don't operate a flight because they may not want to park the aircraft at a foreign airport, for example, or they would have to fly it back empty with just the pilots on board. That's a business decision, and it is no different than an undersold flight. They still have to provide your meals, accommodation, lump sum compensation up to $1,000, and rebooking on another flight of their own with departing within 9 hours, or a competitor airline's flight that they have to buy you a ticket on.
It is,
on the other hand, if they cancel a flight once the strike began, say a flight on Saturday or Sunday, that would be under Canada's very broken and ill-advised passenger protection regime, would be deemed outside the carrier's control absurdly. And then the only obligation the airline would have under the APPR would be to provide alternate transportation on their own or partner airlines departing within 48 hours, failing which they have to buy the passenger a ticket on a competitor. However, even then, if you're traveling internationally, you could have additional rights for reimbursement for meals and accommodation and lost wages under the Montreal Convention, which is a treaty that has the force of law in Canada. And if you travel from the European Union to Canada, then you're protected by the EU's gold standard, which would mean meals, accommodation, lump sum compensation, and alternate transportation, regardless of when the flight is canceled, because strikes are of the airline's own employees are not extraordinary circumstances, but a normal business event in Europe.
We know that these types of situations obviously are emotional for people. They leave people scrambling, sometimes stranded in a city that is not home for them. Is this automatic? So the things that you're talking about, the protections that are there, will Air Canada automatically do this, or do you have to make application essentially for it?
Air Canada is required to do so automatically. Will they actually do it? That's a different question. What I would recommend passengers to do is to, once they receive the cancellation notice, to give Air Canada one chance to rebook them. And that means either by phoning the airline and trying to speak to them, if the flights are available and open at all, or give them maybe 2-3 hours to provide the rebooked flight by email. And if that doesn't happen, document to the extent they can the attempt that they tried to wait for Air Canada, record your conversation with Air Canada on the phone. If you do that, make sure that you have a good app to record calls. But ultimately, if Air Canada is not complying with the law, I would buy a ticket myself, a different airline if needed, possibly in business class if that's the only thing available, and then send the bill to Air Canada. But don't accept a refund. That's a very important thing to remember, that if you accept a refund for your ticket, it could be relied upon by the airline as evidence that then you kind of gave up on your travel. You no longer have to, they no longer have to provide you alternate transportation, which is not where you want to be.
Right. Gabor Lukács is my guest, founder and president of the Air Passenger Rights Advocacy Group, and the website airpassengerrights.ca, a great, I would say, repository of all types of questions. I remember talking with you about similar situation a few months back. If people take it upon themselves to proactively change their flight, that doesn't give them right to any sort of compensation. Am I right?
That's correct. Unfortunately, passengers should be very careful not to jump the gun, not to make changes to their booking or do something before the airline actually cancels their flight. Because then it would be at best as some kind of goodwill gesture by the airline, and the passengers would be at the airline mercy.
One of the other things you and I chatted about the last time you were on the program was the length of time from a complaint being filed to getting some sort of resolution. There was quite a backlog. I'm assuming we haven't taken a big dent out of that.
The Canadian Transportation Agency, which is part of the government, is not the place where you want to take your complaint. We always recommend passengers to take it to small claims court, because there you can have an impartial judge and a timely resolution. Canadian Transportation Agency has a backlog of 87,000 complaints, and it keeps soaring. It's projected to soar to 126,000 complaints by 2028. So that's not where you want to go. They are part of the problem, not part of the solution. The reason that airlines dare to treat passengers this way often and disobey the law is because the Canadian Transportation Agency does not meaningfully enforce the law.
When you see a labor dispute like this, Gabor, do you see it having implications in other airlines in Canada? Obviously, if we see flights canceled, people are going to be jamming other flights to try and make alternate arrangements. Does that just increase the overall problem in the air industry?
Well, it can create a short-term bump for sure. But I would not jump to conclusions about that. Yes, it can create short-term problems, but not systemic ones.
Gábor, this has been a great chat. We always appreciate having you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Evan.
Gábor Lukács, who is the founder and president of the Air Passenger Rights Advocacy Group. The website is great. I was just on there last night, fairly easy to navigate. You basically distill down what's the problem. Everything from lost luggage to canceled flights to whatever, find that. And then there's a whole bunch of information for you there and links as well. The website, airpassengerrights.ca. So lots of people weighing in. The text line's been busy since we've been talking about this Air Canada strike. Some people saying this absolutely should be going to arbitration. Some people are saying, I don't know that I completely agree with this being a hardship. Maybe the people that work as flight attendants need to get a second job like many other people do who find themselves not making enough money and in a situation where they consider to be at the poverty line. Others are saying we have some perspective on this. In fact, I'm going to chat with Donna momentarily here after the break. Donna spent the better part of two decades as a flight attendant. We'll be able to give us some perspective of this unpaid work that we're hearing about, something that is coming to light because of this round of negotiations, or maybe we should say the breakdown in negotiations. Maybe put that into context for us. We'll have a chat with a former flight attendant when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, I put a call out for pictures. If you've got any photos, evidence of last night's storm that swept through the province. And so far, what I'm seeing is a lot of trees down, a ton. A picture here just south of SIR, just outside the raceway, just outside of Saskatoon. It's a mess. A ton of trees knocked down. And another one here, a big tree split in half in the northern part of Saskatoon. So we are getting lots of evidence of the storm, and we appreciate that. If you have pictures of the hail, I've thrown this out. Love to see what is that looking like. Did you get, some people were saying, huge hailstones the size of ping pong balls. I think it was in the Peyton area where that happened last night. So again, text line is open for you there, 1-877-332-8255. So we've been talking a lot about the Air Canada flight attendants. They have given strike notice. Air Canada this morning has made the announcement that they will be gradually shutting down some of the flights. At the heart of this, a couple of things. Wages for the flight attendants, thanks to what was a 10-year agreement through a time when we saw cost of living go through the roof, didn't keep pace, didn't keep them in the ballpark. So that's part of it. But part of what we're hearing is there's a lot of work that flight attendants do that is considered unpaid work. This is hard for people to get their head around. When does the clock start? When does it stop for flight attendants? On the text line, we've been receiving a lot of texts, and I got one from Donna, who mentioned to me she'd been a flight attendant for the better part of two decades and had some good perspective on it. And so I'm happy to say we connected with Donna on the phone today, and she joins me now. Donna, thanks so much for taking the call.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Great to talk to you.
So you were a flight attendant for almost 20 years. Can you give us an understanding of these unpaid duties that keep coming up in this conversation?
Yes. When you are scheduled for work, they will pay you for the time of flight. So that's pretty much once the doors are not even closed. It's when the brakes are released. That's kind of a key word. It's probably one of the best secrets of the airline business is that when you show up, you're generally showing up about an hour to an hour and a half before the flight time. There's the common briefing. The crews will have a briefing in the crew room. You're talking about everything, flight conditions, you know, destination conditions, et cetera. And then the crew will get on the plane. You've got to deal with, now you've got to do your security checks, your equipment checks, catering checks, and special needs checks also, because we do have to take care of seating arrangements for passengers who have animals who have a wheelchair. We have we call them a full lift, mm-hmm. which is the passengers who are immobile and are unable to walk. Those take generally 60 to 90 minutes is the time. That's not even before you started boarding. And then the boarding as well as time that is unpaid for. So the time that you're interacting as well as dealing with luggage. Hmm. And that's the prior flight, yes. And then there's the delay. So then you've got the, if you're delayed, or say if you push back and there's a problem with the aircraft or weather has gone down, that time that, say, if you've given the passengers, you have to go back to the bridge and you have to offload all the passengers now, they deplane. That time now is still unpaid. You could be there. I've had flights where I've been there for six, seven hours due to a contamination on the aircraft that we had to get a hazmat crew.
It's amazing to me. I'm scratching my head as you're explaining this, Donna, because this can't be a new issue. Obviously, this is something that's been around for a while. Have there been attempts to deal with this through negotiations?
This is a campaign that began in the last 2 years, and it did start in the states. So the states started to address this issue, and the airlines are on board now. Within Canada, any of the flight attendants are now part of QP, and QP started the campaign. And so this has been going on for the better part of over 2 years now. It's called Unpaid Work Won't Fly. So if anybody has been on the planes, they probably saw the tags, people having the tags around that has said that. And it's just been kind of that of a subconscious getting it out there, because like I said, this has kind of been probably one of the better secrets of airlines, is paying for that unpaid time.
It can amount to a lot, as you've explained. John Graddick, who I just had on, mentioned also that a lot of flight attendants don't work a full 40-hour week throughout. Is that still a problem as well, Donna?
Flight attendants are not Monday to Friday. So for people to say, go find another job, that's virtually impossible. Because generally, if you are in the lower of the seniority category, you're sitting on call. And I'm going to give you an example of what on call means. You're on call for generally 12 to 14 hours that day. You have to be available to that company for the pay of 3 hours, generally 3 or 4 hours for that day.
This has been eye-opening perspective. And the reason why I wanted to get you on, Donna, is you're not doing the job right now. So you are a person outside of the flight attendant industry who worked there, who can give us that perspective, which has been beneficial. Donna, I appreciate you giving us some time.
Thank you so much for giving me that voice giving them the voice. Thank you.